The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven. The powers in the heaven will be shaken. That doesn't really sound like a warm and fuzzy way to begin Advent, does it? But that's the scripture that Lori read just a few moments ago, the words of Jesus. You see, we always begin Advent by talking about the end of the world. Best job I ever had in high school. I worked for Mr. Jimmy Yarber, who had a radio and television repair shop. Mr. Yarber was all things electronic in the days before computers and cell phones and satellite technology, even before cable television. He also had an awesome PA system. It was the most powerful portable PA system in the county. And once a year, on a Saturday in December, a street preacher would come and rent the PA system. And it was my job to go up to the corner of Main and Sparkman and hook it up. And we would test it. And you could hear it all over town. Testing, testing, testing. And I would tell the preacher, it's ready to go. And he would always ask me if I wanted to stay and listen. I wanted to tell him, look, brother, I won't have any trouble hearing it even two blocks away. And he would start to preach. The signs of the times are everywhere. The end of the world is near. Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Jesus is coming again. Are you ready? Now, the street preacher from my hometown and others who seem to have this intimate knowledge of when all of this is going to take place, they may be misguided in their focus, but they're not misguided in their message. The focus of Jesus was not to try to get us to guess or to estimate or to determine when the world would end. The focus of Jesus was to let us know that it will, and we don't know when, and we need to be ready. Jan Richardson is a gifted Methodist minister and also a wonderful writer. It was a year ago this week that she lost her husband, Gary, from complications from what was supposed to be a routine surgery. And this is what she wrote about today, the first Sunday of Advent. It used to come as something of a shock to me that a season that is so commonly perceived to be about joy and peace always begins with the end of the world. But this time around, as Advent approaches, Jesus' apocalyptic talk comes not so much as a shock, but a feeling that is very familiar to me. December the 2nd will unbelievably mark a year since Gary's unexpected death, a year since our world came to an end, since the onset of my own little apocalypse. She says the ending of one's personal world is not the same, I know, as the end of the world as Jesus describes it. And yet the first Sunday of Advent invites us to recognize that these endings are connected, that the Christ who will return at the end of time somehow inhabits each ending we experience in this life. Every year, Advent calls us to practice the apocalypse, to look for the presence of Christ who enters into every loss, who comes to us in the midst of devastation, and who gathers us up when our world has been shattered, and who offers the healing that is a foretaste of the wholeness he is working to bring about, not only at the end of time, but also at this time, in this place. Look, The world is always ending somewhere. Somewhere the sun has come crashing down. Somewhere it has gone completely dark. Somewhere it has ended with the gun, the knife, the fist. Somewhere it has ended with the slammed door, the shattered hope. Somewhere it has ended with the utter quiet that follows the news from the phone, the television, the hospital room. Somewhere it has ended with the tenderness that will break your heart. If we went back to the 13th chapter of Mark, today's gospel lesson, and you went to the very first of that chapter, Jesus and his disciples had been up on the Temple Mount. He had been teaching. This is the last week, Holy Week. Jesus and his disciples exit, the only way to exit the Temple Mount, which was at the southwest corner. And when they got down to the bottom of the stairs, one of the disciples looked up and said, "Whoa, this is impressive, isn't it? Look at this marvelous structure." The temple was the most magnificent, glorious structure that anyone had ever seen in the ancient world, especially these boys from Galilee who had never seen anything like the buildings of Jerusalem. And the stones, some of you have been there, you have seen the massive stones. The disciples were overwhelmed. They were so impressed. And Jesus said, "I'm going to tell you something. This may look like it's so permanent and stable, but the time is coming when there will not be one stone left standing on another." In one of the most powerful moments, if you have the opportunity to go to Israel, is to stand in the midst of a stone pile, these huge stones that are resting where they have been since 70 AD. You see, Jesus was trying to tell the disciples, this may look impressive, but this will not last. Just like your life, it will not last. He was describing the events that would take place in 70 AD. An event that was for the Jewish people the end of the world. In 66 AD, all of the simmering hatred and resentment against the oppressive Romans came to a head, and there was an ill-advised rebellion by the Jews. The Romans sent a general, Vespasian, who later became the emperor, to put a stop to it. And later, General Titus came. And in 70 AD, the city of Jerusalem was totally destroyed. Thousands of Jewish people, elderly, children, were slaughtered. It was the event that led the Essenes at Qumran to take their sacred writings and hide them in caves, where they remained until 1947, the discovery that we call the Dead Sea Scrolls. It was the event that led a group of Jews to retreat up on top of Masada, where they remained until 73 AD. For these people, the sun was darkened. The moon did not give its light. The stars were falling from the heavens. Their whole world had been destroyed. The world is always ending somewhere, is it not? I've had a lot of people who've had terminal illnesses, who've gone into the holiday season and they've told me, "I know this is my last Thanksgiving. I know it's my last Christmas." Maybe as you sit around the Thanksgiving table with aging parents or grandparents, you know that it's only a matter of time. I wonder about service men and women who are about to be deployed into harm's way, about soldiers who are going to be playing with their little boys and little girls at Christmas, knowing that the end may come at any time. But we also know the end of the world often comes with no advance warning. Some of us here this morning, without knowing it, we may be carrying a silent killer in our blood. We may be on the verge of a fatal stroke. an aneurysm, an unseen, undetected physiological issue. And then we never know, God forbid, that there would be a terrible accident, a violent tragedy. But the world can also end when a relationship is destroyed, when infidelity is discovered, when there is a hurt so deep it feels like the sun is darkened. And then there are many people who live every day in darkness because of depression, because of mental illness, and life is taking a downward spiral. And then there's failure and a sense of hopelessness that overwhelms. Jesus was telling the disciples, this is not permanent. You're not supposed to put your faith and your trust and your security here, for life as we know it, our world will end someday. Are you ready? And so here's a question I would like to ask you. If you knew that this was your last Christmas, if you knew that this was your last holiday season, that you wouldn't be here next year, what would you do differently? Because I really think that's the question that Jesus is asking. We don't know. So what would you do differently? Would we see the world differently? Would we look at what is important in life, realizing it's not the material possessions, but it's the relationships? Would we live every day knowing that it is a gift from God and cherish every moment, living life with a passion and a purpose? Would we do some things that we've always intended to do but never got around to it? Would we ask for forgiveness and extend forgiveness when it's necessary? Would we focus on our family? Would we tell people we love them? Would we not worry so much about what other people think, but only worry about what is important? Would we live for others? Give more generously? Make sure that your life is touching the life of someone less important? 4 years ago, you gave me the opportunity to take a wonderful sabbatical. You gave me the opportunity, and the Lilly Foundation provided the funding. And some of you remember that that process went back to 2008 when we started to develop a proposal for the grant that we received. We didn't receive it the first year. And when I talked to the director of the foundation, she said, listen, she said, you don't need to spend your sabbatical doing all of this stuff, going to all of these seminars, working so hard. She said, we want you to enjoy yourself. She said, we want you to spend time with your family. That was one of the top criteria. Spend time with your family. And so that's what we planned. And that's what we did. We spent time with our children and our grandchildren. We spent time with Joyce's family. We spent time with my family. In September of 2010, I went to Alabama to visit with my mother, and we had a wonderful reunion one day when both of my brothers came, and we sat around and we talked and we joked. And we reminisced. Half of my family are Auburn people. A lot of us are Alabama people. And you know how that goes. But we really had a wonderful time. A time that I would not have spent otherwise. I would have been here. I wouldn't have been there. The first week of December, 4 years ago, as a lot of you remember, my brother experienced the end of the world. He had an aortic dissection. basically his aorta burst. And he died suddenly, unexpectedly. You have to write an evaluation of the sabbatical for the Lilly Foundation. And I remember it was very extensive. I remember sending in my evaluation, and I put in there about the opportunity to see my brother for the last time. When I received a very compassionate, personal letter back from the director, that was the one thing that she commented on. She said, "I'm so grateful that you had this experience, but I'm most grateful that we gave you the opportunity to visit with your brother, knowing now that it would be the last time you would be with him." If this was the last Christmas, what would you do differently? And when you answer that, then that's what you need to do. We need to live every day as if we're on borrowed time, because we are. We never know when it will happen, but it will happen. And we need to be ready. We need to be right with God, and we need to be right with others. Would you pray with me? We thank you, O God, for the gift of life. We pray that you would endow us with a sense of urgency, with a view of life that tells us we never know when the end will come. And so may we live every day in your will. May we live every day serving you, loving you, following you, and loving one another. And we pray that this time of Advent and Christmas would bring us closer to each other and closer to Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.